Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is July 8th, and the Yankees take the series in Seattle, winning the first two games, but losing the final one. The bats were alive. They were alive. And then they died. Let's talk Yanks. Hello and welcome to Talkin' Yanks. My name is Jimmy. His name is Jake. This is Talkin' Yanks. I'm so tired. I think I'm sick and fighting something off. So, Jake, I'm going to lean on you a lot today. The 10 p.m. starts. I don't even think I'm blaming them. I think I'm getting very sick, which is worrying me because we're going away to Denver soon. So, this game was about as boring as it can get, but the series started off with a bang. In the middle, it was pretty fun, too.
Yeah, Jimmer, today was as bad as a game could get, and with the late night, I think we got to test the walking on glass theory here. If you can't fear being sick, you won't be sick, because there is a chance. It was tough today. Tough vibes in the office a little bit. I mean, you know, let's be honest. The Yankees knock around Justice Sheffield, which, holy smokes, I think if you've been watching back alley at bats, I think we might be able to get a couple TC Tuggers down the line against them. But then Yusei Kikuchi, the all-star this year, the Yankees again, and then it's just like every Yankee series this year, they find it feels like Julius Caesar getting stabbed every time. Like, is this a hug? I just got stabbed. I know Talkin' Yanks put out the tweet that was like, in the first 11 innings, the Yankees scored 17 runs, I think is the number. The final 16 innings, zero. So, by the start of the second game, we knock around Kikuchi a little bit. It's like, all right, maybe these Yanks are going to fight into the break a little bit. And now we're heading to Houston, and it feels like we're a bleeding animal running through the woods, and there's just a bunch of hunters with guns. So we'll see what happens in Houston. Hopefully the boys prove us wrong, and we can dangle some pixie dust of, well, we got eight games with the Red Sox. Let's see what the boys got. But holy smokes, man. We will see. But I think the bigger thing everyone's talking about, and for the last time today, Big Baby David's birthday. How about it? 1 year to go.
1 year left.
1 year left.
For what?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Man, they're like three and a half out of the wild card. They're leading the division. Didn't change after winning three in a row. They were eight and a half out still, first place in the division. But I read that they got to three and a half out of the wild card.
Well, the eight and a half got better, too. They were down to 10.5, I think, and Boston lost two, and the Yanks won one, or 1-2.
Okay. Well, 3.5, I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but we kind of joke. They're going to be three out of that second wild card. Like, I wonder when that ends. September 15th? September 28th, like, I think that's the magic number that we're just they're going to ride that line, which is just enough to give everybody, like, you know, something. But I don't know, man. Like, they needed to get five hits today and lose 3-0.
Right.
Yeah. Like a runner, like some semblance of a rally. The way they lost, almost, it's two, it's like I was saying, two steps forward, one step back. For it's almost two steps forward, two steps back. They got one hit by a rookie, man. And he pitched really well.
And he's a talented rookie. He's like a touted rookie.
He's a top prospect.
His last seven starts have been good, but still.
But, you know, Kikuchi is an all-star before him, and they looked pretty good against him. So that kind of erased everything for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's the – They have to do something to earn it. Like, and they, you know, we want to rally around them. The Yankee fans are sitting around scratching their faces like, let us get excited around something. Glaber, get hot. Somebody, you know, give us a rally cry to believe in. And, you know, a little sweep against the M's would have been nice. And it's just so funny, some of the stats that come out. I think they're 3-8 going for the sweep this year, which, you know, I'd have to look back at previous years to compare, but that's got to be on the low end, because if you're dominating the first half of the series enough to have the chance to sweep. And then on recording days this year, which, I mean, just literally shoot me in the face and watch me die and bleed out on the screen, only teams with worse records are the Pirates and the D-backs on getaway days of series. So, kind of unreal in that regard. And it's just, it's been the momentum thing all year. Like, how, you know, if they could somehow get 2 out of 3 in Houston, I mean, I don't know how, I don't know why, but that would be cool. But yeah, I mean, they give us a reason to believe.
They don't have my reason. I wanted them to go whatever, 17-8. And, that's impossible now. After, because they needed to go 9-1 after LA, the Angels, and then they went, they lost two. They've lost three since then.
Yep.
So it's impossible for me. The other thing is that O'Day's injury, they say, is like terrible, and it was really bad. And it was during warmups. Mike King gets his finger jammed in weights, and he was supposed to be the bulk guy with Nestor tomorrow. Domingo had emergency root canal surgery. Andujar's got fractures on his hands. Glaber sat a day, got scratched last second because of a hamstring tightness. He came back and played, but we're almost, I think we still got an injury every pregame press conference from Boone.
Yeah, every day.
So like that, those hits still keep coming. Justin Wilson's still on the team.
Yeah, heck, he looked good today, Jim.
I listened to that. I didn't see it. Where did the hit go? Pop up to the infield? That's what they said.
Yeah, pop up to DJ. It's I don't think Justin Wilson deserves to be talked about. His velo is up, which, hey, cheers, mate, but you got to get a lot of guys out for all the guys you gave up runs to. So, not expecting much there. Yeah, man. I mean, Andujar, he had a couple, looked like the bat was coming back, and now he's got some hand stuff. We'll see what happens there. Timmy Lowe, the Herman stuff, I mean, doesn't get much weirder than that. With the emergency root canal before the game, so he gets scratched from the start. So they just put him in the bullpen. He's warming up about 25 minutes after he would have started. So it's kind of like, what's going on here? And then he sits down after that, and then he comes in after that, his second time warming up. So that was, I mean, as wild as a starting pitcher ride can have on a day, pretty bizarre. And, yeah, Tyler Wade's back up. I'm wondering, are they going to send down Nelson technically and, like, call up Abreu so they have another long man for the Houston series? I don't know.
Called up Tyler Wade, but yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They replaced King with Wade because King got hurt, but he was supposed to be kind of the bulk man follower. So I wonder if they're going to send down Nelson for Abreu if they can. Has there been enough days? I don't know.
Might want to burn Nelson one more time and then do it because they love getting rid of a guy right after they used him.
But who can come up? Yeah, it's interesting that they've got Wade back up.
Right, because, I mean, normally they're so focused on the pitchers. I wonder, The best thought process I had heard in the office today was that, they'd call up Wade for today. If they really needed Nelson again, they could. And then you have Albert Abreu to follow Nestor if you need him, but who knows?
I have no idea. I have no idea, man. And I'm not excited to go to Houston and play them at all. Kind of excited it comes on a weekend where I have a lot of other shit to do. So they're good. Yankees, I don't know, man. Ruggie's starting fights after games. I don't care.
Yeah. Obviously, we've been a big part of the Ruggie Odor train this year. That was pretty bizarre, huh? DJ yelling an FU up the line.
DJ always doesn't like that. When it was the Rays flipping him over, like he always takes offense to those inside pitches. I never seen him yell, but he always is like huffing and puffing a little bit. I wonder what he said. But like, I don't know. The Yankees pitch inside too. So like,
yeah,
it wasn't even that crazy of pitches.
Was it speculation or did someone say it that he was mad because Odor's first pitch was at him too? So he was like,
Yeah. And then they busted Judge. Graveman busted Judge inside first pitch too, just not as far inside, but.
And Gilbert hit Voit early in the game, so that just it was all day inside stuff, and there was a hit by pitch earlier. And Voit hates getting hit by pitches. I mean, who likes it? But
yeah, I don't know. It's just never good to lose the game when you get one hit and be yelling and screaming and John while the other team's celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, both sides are losers there. The Mariners lose the series, so they don't really have a ground to stand on. The Yankees get dominated in that game. They don't have ground to stand on. I think I'm more okay with it because it is DJ. Like, that's the guy, you know, in your office place or the guy in your baseball team that you're like.
I don't care about that. I care about just Ruggie being, like, the first guy of defense. Like,
Jim, we have no control of that. You know that.
Yeah, but I flipped.
You're back off?
Yeah, how I feel about Ruggie just goes with my mood, I guess.
Okay, that's fair. So we'll have a Ruggie check each ep.
If the Yankees win, it's funny and haha, how dumb is this? If the Yankees lose, it's embarrassing.
So will every...
If the player that's only on your team because he's free is like the first line of the bicker wars... I don't know.
Every ep we'll check with you. We'll do Averex or Aver Yes. And that's how we'll know if what side of Ruggie you're on.
Like, you know, Ruggie's going to start shit against the Astros and then say something about how this is for blah, blah. And it's like, you weren't part of the Yankees. Like, you weren't. What are you doing? And then, you know. You know he's going to be a loud person in this next series.
It's 50-50 if Ruggie starts something before the game.
Yeah, that's nuts. All right, do you have Burns?
I got some Burns, Jim.
BBD, do you have the music?
Burns are brought to you by DraftKings, and if you go to DraftKings and their stats page, you'll see that Jose Altuve only has 130 homer season and Ruggie Odor has 3. So, okay, that's a unit of measurement. No, DraftKings doesn't have baseball stats like that. They have bets, gambling, and guess what? DraftKings is a huge part of our coming up trip to Denver. We're going out to the All-Star Game. We're doing all sorts of events. We're arriving. We're going to be at a bar. We're going to record Talking Yanks. We're going to do some games. We're going to be at the Home Run Derby, watch party, all of it, a little blitz ball. And DraftKings is a huge part of that. We can't thank them enough. They've been like, we are friends. We've been friends for a little while now. And also with DraftKings, how about a little Conor McGregor versus Poirier this weekend? Holy cow. Round 3, Poirier got him last time. McGregor got him the first time. They're going to fight one last time. Unless it's close, then they'll probably do it again. And DraftKings, if you bet with them, Pick the main event fighter who you think is going to win. Jim, you going with your countryman, McGregor?
Yeah. Did you hear his quote today?
No, what'd he say?
He said, I'm not a celebrity. I get paid to punch faces.
Haven't
been
there.
Something like that.
Took that out of the Glass Now book. I'm not a celebrity. I'm a baseball player. Well,
that's such a cool quote from Glass Now because he means it 100%.
Right. Well, if you pick Connor, Jim, is this real? They'll give you 264-1 odds. We're a math pod, so that makes sense. $1 on McGregor or Poirier to win. If they win by first round knockout, you get $264. Mm-hmm, that dress. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOMBOY when you sign up to turn $1 into $264 when you bet on a main event fighter to win in the first round knockout. Place your bets and watch the fist fly this weekend. That's code JOMBOY to turn $1 into $264 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or PA only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it.
The actual quote is, I'm not a celebrity. I break people's faces for money.
Ooh.
McGregor detailing his job.
He's like such a celebrity.
And that's why it's funny. That's why I say, like, when Glasnow says it, he genuinely means it. He's like, oh, no, I'm just a baseball player. But, like, you know, that's a line from McGregor. It's a great line. I love it. But.
Jim, here's something interesting in the live chat right now. Christopher O'Brien says, excited about watching you guys in Denver. You are coming back to NY, Jake, or staying in Colorado with your Rockies?
Yeah, what is your plan?
I have a flight back, but now I'm a little worried. Did I get called up?
No, I think I don't think you definitely get called up because I think the Diamondbacks are trading you.
Rockies front office was my dream retirement job. Now it's D-backs.
They traded you.
Yeah.
They said they traded you back to the Rockies.
One day.
Yeah.
One day. All right. Oh.
On your mark. Get set. Burn.
How's your fish market? The Yanks bring their Jameson to the beautiful Pacific Northwest as they look to find some justice versus Sheffield and the Mariners. Junkalo, let the rhythm take you over, Junkalo. Three-run homer in the first, in the second, the wild pitch Yanks, baby. They push one across, and Lewis is no child as Linwood Voigt hits a 2-RBI single. And just like that, it's 6-0 pinstripes. Meanwhile, J-Mo was a real shot of life for the Yanks pitching staff. 7 innings pitch, 1 earned run because of what sounded like a soccer score. Ty France? Otherwise, it was all Yanks. Judge with the ribby double. Voigt infield single, and that's obvious. And what a beautiful odor the Yankees smell of victory is. Rugi with the 3-run Johnson. Peralta and Chappie finish out. And this was a 12-1 Yanks final.
A 12-1. What a way to start the road trip. Like, needed it. Needed it so bad. A lot of individual stuff from this game that I don't really want to, like, fully step on because I think there's a lot of awards being given out from this game. So do you have anything on the lineup or the usage of everyone? I did predict that. I was hoping that they would score enough runs that you get length out of Tyone, and even if he gives up 5 like he did last time, it'd be better. But they gave him the cushion, and he said, don't need it, which I appreciate.
Sheffield looked like a disaster out there. I think the story kind of came down to they rocked him. Voiter with the 5-hit day. I'm trying to think. We were scared coming into this game because there was a Yankees off day. So you're like, off day, that'll rest up the bullpen. And then we looked at it pregame and Chad and Johnny were out. And we were like, oh, crap. So what normally would be our three best relievers, two are out and one hasn't gotten an out since what, Memorial Day? We're back at five. Oh, this is a live show.
The biggest win was the ability to use Aroldis Chapman in a blowout. And it was kind of like Joe's was texting us and it's like, are they going to do it? They better do it. They better pitch him here. Like, it's a prime time to let him go out there and work on some stuff in game. So I was happy they did. So, you know, the win is really nice. And there's a lot of good performances from the win that we can highlight, but the fact that Chappie got to come into a game where it didn't really matter and work on some stuff is good. And he didn't have a lot of, I guess this is kind of an individual thing, so I don't know if I should do it.
Easy.
Yeah. But that was good. I won't go further into Chapman, but that was good.
I've got some analytics for you.
Yeah.
Every Yankee scored a run, at least one run.
I know. I saw that when I was doing my recap. That's pretty cool.
That's I'll go out on a limb and say 99% of teams that have done that win the game.
Sheffield looks so bad, man.
Yeah, man. I was looking at his Baseball Savant from last year, and there's a couple nice numbers there. And his Baseball Savant is one of those, oh my God, everything's so dark blue. Like, kind of what are you doing, Mariners? So, that was blood in the water.
He did not look as bad as Dobnak when the Yankees faced Dobnak.
The Dobster is similar.
Similar boats. But Dobnak looked like he didn't want to be out there. Sheffield, I don't know. Hopefully he tinkers some more and figures it out. But
tink.
He would like some of the sliders he threw. I'm trying to find someone hit a slider.
Well, no, it was his slider was actually his best pitch, but because everything else was so bad, he'd have to use it to get his first strike with. And Yankees hitters, once they saw the slider, they were fine with it. So he was kind of trapping himself. He was bad.
There was a slider. Was it Voit or was it Gio or DJ? Maybe Andujar. That was just like, it was an 0-2 or 2-0 slider. 0-2 slider was just right in the zone, just barreled up easily. And it's like, man, that's bad. But good job by the Yankees coming out and hitting.
Hey, yeah, like hit bad pitching. That'd be a nice spin to this season.
Yeah. Beat bad teams, hit bad pitching. That hasn't been their MO. Mm. LoCastro gets to start in center field, Andujar in left field. So LoCastro gets some run. He walks and gets a hit in this game that leads into the next game a little bit. And Tyone goes the distance. So that was a nice win, man. It was a really 18 hits, 12 runs, really nice win.
Justice Sheffield went on the IL after the game.
With what?
A forearm strain.
That sucks. Hope that doesn't have him out too long.
Make it better.
All right, let's go to game two.
Yanks try to wrestle a series win and put Seattle in a full Nelson as Nick serves as the opener versus you say Kikuchi, I say meat. The King will have the first run. Luke with the RBI single. Gracias de Caracas. Haven't heard that a lot. Baby Glaby with the two-out, two-run single makes it 3-1 Yanks after one in the second. Here comes the judge, two-run homer. 5-1 after the big fella hits one to Old Yeller. Luis was incessant about giving up runs. 3.1 shutty as the Yanks are in cruise control until early settler Tom Murphy says, how's this for our annual crop? His homer makes it 5-4 game zoinks, but the bullpen holds as they end up and they go Nelson to Sessa to Herman to Laza to Chad. Yanks win 5-4 final.
This game was better than the first game in a lot of ways, Jake, because you say Kikuchi's a good pitcher and because they didn't have a starter. I mean, they put up a three spot and they hand it to Nick Nelson. And I have, I saw a lot of Yankees fans killing Nelson and killing Herman in this game. And dude, I mean, Nick Nelson got asked to start. Starters are such creatures of habit, and he didn't know he was going to start. And remember they did that to him early in the year too. And they were like, when did you find out? And he was like, the night before.
Yeah.
This is the second time they've done this to Nick Nelson. Just like, oh, but you're starting. And he didn't even like know he was starting the night before or anything. So I feel a little bad. Some weird pitch calling, couldn't find the zone. Looked like he was hurt. Ruka was kind of mentioning that it looked like he was hurt, Nick Nelson, but only gets two outs. You're hoping for some length because he'd been throwing deep. So you got an all-star pitcher against you. You had a 3-0 lead in the first, but now it's 3-1 after one, and they have an all-star pitcher on the mound to ride out, and you have nothing. So Sessa comes up absolutely huge here. I liked it, but the big story for me was Tim LoCastro. There's a lot of other hits, but that hustle double, my God.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We hadn't seen a lot of that this year. And, yeah, I mean, it again, like, the story of this game changes a lot. I mean, the Yankees, I think they had two runners, I think runners on second and third, the ground rule double. I think they could have made it. It was 5-0. I think, you know, if that doesn't go over the wall, it's probably 6. And I think they had an at-bat there. You know, that could have kind of really ended it. Kikuchi ends up settling in, and as the rest of the series develops, the story of the series changes a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, this was bizarre, and we kind of entered a scary area because you're like, this is a 5-4 game in the 6th? Like, it felt like it was over. I'm drifting in and out of sleep on the couch. I'm just rolling, like, burping, trying to breathe. Like, I have to put a focus to breathe. It was an ugly, ugly sight on my end. And then, yeah, the boys, Chad and Johnny, you know, one inning pitch, no runners allowed for each of them, 2 Ks, 18 pitches each. How about that? Friends.
Friends.
That's all it is.
Yeah, that was another thing, because we said on the pre-game show that they probably don't want to use Jad. That's what I'm calling them now. They probably didn't want to use Jad for multiple innings each, and they get away with it. You know, Chad's the closer. Some people might have guessed Laza would have done it, but they went with Chad as the closer. And Chad actually didn't have his curveball. I don't know if he was trying to throw his curveball the first two batters and didn't get it, so it went to 3-2 on both of them. Then the lefty came up, Shed Long,
Money Long.
And then he went all curveballs to him. I found that, and he like suddenly found the curveball.
That's how you keep him guessing.
Who made the last out? Was it Shed Long? Yeah, Shed Long. Yeah.
Curve, four-seamer, bang.
Yeah, and the four-seamer was beautiful, up and away, that spot he likes hitting to lefties. But do you have the pitches for the other batters, for Fraley and Tom Murphy?
Yeah.
He threw some curves, but they just weren't moving. They were like cement mixers.
Yeah, first pitch to Fraley was curve-looking. Fastball, curve, fastball, and then Murphy, fastball, curve, and then all fastballs the rest of the way. So,
yeah, because when I was watching, I was like, oh, he doesn't have his curve today. He's going to have to rely on just the fastball. And then all of a sudden, the lefty comes up and he just kept digging for it. And he started finding the break a little bit more.
Ain't that baseball?
Ain't that America? You and me. Okay, well, this should be an easy burn for game 3. They didn't pinch hit anyone.
Nothing but cheese, baby. Ain't that America? Scratch.
Kind of odd to see, like, no pinch hit, no pinch run. That's like a different dynamic than when they had Andy Hoar and Clint starting every game. They were pinch hitting, pinch running a lot for a little bit.
The last game?
This one that you just did.
Oh, the game we just did.
And the game before that.
Yeah.
The game before that, they didn't, and just the 9 wrote it out. They hadn't been doing that. It was almost like a formula, like, okay, we're going to have a pinch hitter, we're going to have a pinch runner, defensive replacement. But these two lineups, they just wrote out.
Yeah, I mean, Andujar hurt. You're not going to use Higgy. T. Wade gets called up between games. You're saving Rugi for the Houston series. Yeah, play your guys that play good defense and can try to hit.
How about it? Let's burn game 3.
On your mark, get set, and go.
The full Monty slanging that big old South Carolina hammer, trying to get the sweep in Seattle versus Logan, who's eating Gilbert Grape, Leo's best performance in the Mile High City. That's not the Mile High City. We're heading there. This game sucked. Gilbert shut us out. We had one hit. That's the end of the burn. You get nothing. You get nothing. This game stunk.
Shout out to Logan Gilbert.
This game stunk. Cut it, baby. This was awful.
24 years old from Winter Park, Florida.
Ooh, Jess is like kind of from there.
Oh, yeah? Did she go to Wakiva High School?
Don't think so, but she could have.
Okay. Daryl Knight, also from there.
Ooh.
So, yeah, this game sucked, man. Super boring. It was almost like, you know, and I chose Judge in the homer draft game, too, because I said they don't have an approach against rookie pitchers. Like, Yusei Kikuchi, I forgot this, looked this up, but it seemed very much like against Yusei. He was a good pitcher. It seemed very much they had a strategy and approach, and the whole team committed to it, and it worked. This guy was just tricking them. We got some ugly swings out of some people.
Yeah, and like we said at the open, like, he is a big prospect. He's been really good in his last 7 games now. You know, more than a strikeout per inning. The team is 7-0 in his games, is now 3-0. So it's whatever. Like, I think we're going to think differently about Logan Gilbert in a couple years. But I think the part that just sucks is, like, fastball slider. Like, I know that's been kind of the sad Yankee internet, like, good slider, these guys don't have it, but, I mean, holy smokes. Like, at a certain point, I think Gilby could have said what he was throwing up there, and Yank still would have been having a bad day.
I agree. So the Yankees swung at 5+5. +8. What's that, BBD?
18.
Felt like 18.
They swung at 18 first or second pitches from Kikuchi. They had 0 swings and miss and 5 hits. 8 foul balls. Only 12 called strikes. So although the strikes they saw, they swung at more than they took. Which feels like different for the Yankees team early in the count.
Might have to get stats and research on that for next week or the weekend.
You got something in your eye?
Dude, something in my eye bad. Like rock.
You got a rock? Like, you want to you want to take a 30-second timeout?
Jim, I'm a gamer, dude. Like, that's all I have in this life.
Okay. It sucks when you have things in your eye. Warby Parker lied to me in the nicest way, man. They said that my contacts weren't going to arrive till July 16th. I was like, well, I'm leaving for Denver. I really like a backup pair on Sunday. Is that possible? Expedited shipping. He's like, well, expedited shipping is $20. I was like, okay, I'll do that. And he's like, but I don't know if I get you there by Sunday. I was like, okay, well, I'm back on the 14th. I'd really love them then.
Right.
Do you think I'd get them then? He was like, well, maybe not. I was like, all right, well, I'll do the expedited shipping so I get them by the 14th. They showed up today.
That's good.
The next day.
Yeah.
Guy told me it was going to take 10 days, and I paid maybe the expedited shipping worked. He didn't realize how good it was.
Yeah.
And then on the tracking, I still can check the tracking from the email. It says they're going to show up on the 16th still. Something went awry here.
Maybe they realized who it was for. They saw the follow count. They just got a free ad.
Yeah, shout out Warby Parker. Warby Parker.
Monty, is he getting awards?
Maybe.
Okay.
Such a Monty thing that, like, he doesn't get the win or anything.
It's a Monty fest.
Just how it works for him.
It's his career.
All right. Let's pivot.
Pivot.
To awards.
Yankees.
Pride of the Yankees.
Yeah. That's the first award we give out, and it's Thursday, Jake. So you get to go. Is this the last time? No. Next episode will be Sunday, right. And I'll go, and then it switches. Maybe.
Was that at end?
Maybe it doesn't switch. I think
the Yankees got to change something up and get the guy closer to God. No. James, you're looking for a pride of the Yankees?
I am, yeah.
Pride of the Yankees. Yeah, pride of the Yankees. Jim, my pride.
You know what movie that's from?
My pride of the Yankees. Which part?
The quote that we do.
Is it Meet the Fockers, something like that?
I think it's from Sleepless in Seattle.
I got it.
It is. It's from Sleepless in Seattle, yeah.
My pride of the Yankees. Okay, I'm between two guys right now. Jim, I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. I've been asking for this a lot. And if he doesn't have his performance, we are sad sacks of lard right now.
Okay.
My pride of the Yankees is Luis Sessa.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming, man. I did not see that coming,
James,
man.
Luis Sessa goes 3.1, one hits, no walks, no earned runs. He was in control. We've been asking for long reliever Luis Sessa all year. He kept having these, like, weird one-inning, 11-pitch appearances. And it's like, isn't this our – he's been our long guy for 3 years. Man, this is kind of a hindsight relive in the series. Obviously, they dominate the first game. The second game ends up closer than you remember it. Man, if Luis Sessa doesn't have his performance, what are we saying? If Luis Sessa has a 2.2 one-earned run, what are we saying today? I think there's a lot of dead duck stuff. So, Rui, our guy, you know, handsome as hell. Like, every time we talk about good-looking Yankees, like, we need to jump to Sessa quicker. And here he is, Jim. Still doing it for the Yankees. His ERA has now gone down the past three seasons. He's had a 3-flat ERA right now in 36 innings pitched. I don't know, man. Good for you, Louis. There was a time many moons ago with Talking Yanks. You were, you know, it was you, the Twinkies, and the Cockroaches surviving. But, man, a hell of a performance. Love you, Louis.
All right. I didn't think he was going to get a pride, but he deserved it. It's deserved. Helped us out there. And, yeah, I mean, the fact that we're like, he went three innings, like, I don't know how we got there. Like, he should be a long man all the time.
He has been. That's the weird part.
But this season, yeah.
Yeah, he, man, I mean, that's his longest outing of the year. He's had, it looks like he's had 7 2-inning performances, and then, like, 19 less than that, and he used to be the long man. So, man, and if he doesn't have that, we're having a straight-up bad time right now.
That slider. I mean, when did he make the change and just say, "Oh, I'm a slider guy now"? Because his slider, he throws it like 50% of the time.
Yeah, just pump it.
He threw some changeups. I wonder if that's because he threw more innings and he thought he needed to throw more. Looking at his pitch chart now. So in 2017, he threw the slider 30% of the time. In 2018, the slider bumped up 42. Fastball is 41. I mean, at this point in 2021, his slider is 60% of the time. I'm sorry, I said 50. Slider 60% of the time. The next most used pitch is 20% of the time. That's kind of unreal.
Pump it, Rue.
32% whiff rate on the slider. 24% put away rate on the slider. mean, really good numbers.
Yeah, he's 87th percentile in hard hit percentage. They're really not barreling him up this year. So, man, I mean, what a change.
I believe this is his first Pride.
Ever in the history of the show or this season?
I think ever.
In the history of Talking Yanks?
I think this was his first Pride.
Holy shit.
If I'm reading these charts we've got right.
I mean, he's been on the team for every episode of Talking Yanks. What episode number are we at?
625.
Holy smokes. That's his first Pride?
It seems that way.
Kike, man.
Wow, I'm happy for him.
Huge.
Well, this kind of changes up my mindset. I thought there was two guys, and I thought you were going to choose one, so I was going to choose the other. But I'm going to stick to who I wanted to give it to anyway. My Pride of the Yankees is Luke Voit.
Yeah.
He has the 5-hit day in game one, comes back with 2 more hits and an RBI in game 2 in the first inning. No hits game 3, but no one got any hits. He did get hit by a pitch, and that's a bummer for him. In the series, he had a .615 on base percentage and a .583 batting average. But this was a guy who was hard on himself. He was struggling after coming back up. His numbers on the year didn't look great. Called himself out, said needs to get better, and then he got better. You know, in that 5-for-5 game, his batting average, Jake, jumped up from 198 to 237, and then the next game bumped up to 248. He hadn't played a lot of games, not a lot of at bats, so he almost jumped up, you know, 60, 70 points in those two games, those first two games. Never been a math pod, but 2 more of those, and like his stats may be somewhat normal, like not like what's going on here on the season, which is crazy. And they were all nice hits. They were all nice hits. 1 double, 4 singles, but he just kind of sprayed them, went with the pitches. He had some oppo, you know, so they looked like nice swings. And it was nice to see that again, because, you know, if he struggled this series, that 198. If that 198 batting average and 270 on base percentage lingered through Seattle, you know, if everyone was getting hits versus Sheffield, he wasn't. Something like that. It's nice to see. So I'm happy for Voit. He had a 4-game hit streak because he got a hit in both of the doubleheader games. Ended today, but he got the hit by pitch. So
it's a huge game for him. Huge series, man. I was kind of tough on Uncle Luke to end the midweek episode, because it was like, hey, man, like, it's, you know, got to go time. We're entering the All-Star break. I know you've been hurt a lot. So that's huge. I mean, a day like that does change kind of his whole season's outlook. And hopefully he can bring a big bat into Houston. That would, you know, that changes the whole dynamic of the Yankees lineup. Good job, Luke. I'm interested to see who you think the second Pride. I only had Sessa and Luke in the running. So I'm interested to see if we get there in awards.
Maybe we will.
Maybe we have.
But first, we have to give out a not good award.
You Yankee motherfucker.
Hey, this one's actually interesting.
This is interesting.
I don't mind. I hope you don't take him. That gives a big hint. You know it's a guy.
Yeah, I know they're on the team. Oh, this is Africa. Man, I think this guy's my MF-er, but I had another award lined up. I'm giving it to Gardy.
Damn it. That's why.
I was going to give him the appetizer award, because if there's a restaurant that has meatballs as an appetizer, I'm going to get them. And Guard Dog got some meatballs today. Jimbo, 7 fastballs middle today for the Guard Dog.
Yep.
0 for 3, 2 punchies.
Yep.
You know, I talked about how he had like a low-key nice June kind of out of nowhere. We get Tilo, and they're sharing the outfield. We're excited. We got speed on the outfield, speed on the bases. And, I mean, guard dog, like, you know, I know we've defended Brett Gardner a lot on here. It's, this year it's getting tough. This year it's getting real tough, man. And I don't know, like, I'll write him off as dead the day he signs his retirement papers because he's a piano man, but that this was a tough one. This was a tough one.
Yep, that was going to be my MF-er for sure.
I mean, if you got meatballs on the appetizer part of the menu, it's like, okay, so is it one big meatball and we're sharing, or a couple little guys and we're splitting them up? Are you making sweet meat? How much sauce is there? I got to know.
I'm not ordering meatballs.
That's fine.
Unless they're non-Italian.
Okay.
I'll order non-Italian meatballs places.
I'll order non-Italian meatballs. I'll get Swedish meatballs.
No, I don't like Swedish
meatballs. He's not getting Swedish meatballs either. Sweden and Italy, you're out.
Italian meatballs, you know, grew up with my grandpa's recipe from Italy, and kind of I'm a homemade meatball snob.
Sure.
Okay. Don't come at me about it.
I won't. I mean, I'm sure there's some tasty meatballs at restaurants you'd like, but if you got to have the block up, that's fine.
Yeah, a lot of them, you can tell they're frozen, which kind of like that.
You got to go to a nice place.
Yeah, I know. Tough MF-er, but not even really that. Those pitches down the middle are there. You know what? I said it at the beginning that I don't fully want to knock him, but I am going to give it to Nick Nelson. Mostly for the 3-2 changeup he threw, which was a bizarre pitch in my opinion. You got to go fastball there. It's 3-2. You battled back finally to find the zone, and you got some fastballs in there. And then you load the bases by throwing that, like, you know, just a non-competitive pitch in a 3-2 count in the first inning with everything that's going on. So I'm not, you know, he had a really good stretch in AAA when he was starting. His numbers are really good. I'm not like out on him. I wish they didn't give him the shotgun start, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a bummer to have to be told, oh, by the way, you're starting today. Mingo got surgery. No prep. There's these guys work really hard. There's a lot of prep. There's a lot of, you know, looking at the hitters, the matchups, and like, I don't know, just shitty. Gets called back up after all the work he did in AAA, and I'm sure he wants to use that on the field and then just thrown into the fire a little bit. So I'm not really angry or mad, or I'm not going to be, you know, it's not like a,
right.
It's just like, sucks, man. There's not a lot of other options actually, which is, you know, they won the first two games.
Some days that's how the MF-er goes, you know?
Yeah. It was to Tom Murphy. He just had a 4-pitch walk. Then he was down 3-0. Came back into the count by throwing two called strikes, fastballs, and then decides to switch off that and go off speed.
I'm in the minority here, because if he threw a nice changeup in the zone, it's the right pitch. Because you got a guy struggling to find it. He's pumping heaters. I mean, the heater is the pitch. So if you can throw a good changeup, it's a fantastic pitch.
Well, yeah.
But you didn't. And that's so, I mean, there's a little play the result, but you kind of have to, especially when he got as wild as he did. And that was the part that was sad. Like, he came out hot.
He looked like he was hurt.
He was dotting a couple pitches, and then he just lost it.
Well, you throw the fastball there, I don't think anyone complains about the pitch selection at all. If he gets a hit, if you miss, I think people are like, you had to go fastball there. You had no control of anything. You go change up, it has to work, and you go, oof.
Well, he didn't have much control of the fastball. I mean, that's, you know.
But But he just found it. The two.
I don't think
before.
He found it. I think the pitch was lucky to find the plate.
Yeah. I figured like you got to go fastball here. So he didn't. Two outs. Just let him put it in play. See what happens. It's the first inning and we need you. So he's my MF-er.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Yeah, I mean, looking at the box scores in hindsight, like, would have been cool if Nick Nelson pitched the eighth inning in the 12-run, in the 11-run game, and then maybe Wandy P was the opener in the second game, but a lot of moving parts there. Nelson had been starting in the minors, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Regular all the way. What you got?
I'm giving out the middle school cast award.
Hold on.
Okay.
You can give your award. I gotta check it something.
Okay. Jimmy's checking on something. BBD, we normally get a guess at the awards. You got a guess?
Middle school cast.
Middle school cast award.
Ooh. Voight got hit in the hand today, but he already got a pride, so it's not him. Rougned Odor.
Mm. You all right, Timbo? A
lot going on. We're okay.
A lot going on. You want to guess at the middle school cast award?
Middle school cast, Timo Castro. Everyone's going to sign it because they're so excited to meet him.
I mean, I like that. That would be really cool. Be really
making so many new friends.
Really fucking badass. I am giving the middle school cast award to Giancarlo Stanton. You know, I think you know a couple buddies. I know a guy in middle school. He, you know, he got a cast on his right hand. He got hurt. Playing soccer, I think. So he gets the cast on his right hand. So you know, you learn how to do stuff lefty. And this guy knows how to do it off the lefties, and it's Giancarlo Stanton. He has a career 1. OPS versus lefties. He's genuinely one of the best hitters all time versus left-handed pitching. I mean, Justice Sheffield, like, he genuinely didn't have a chance. And that was kind of cool. So, Big G, he ends up having a nice series, 5-for-12. I mean, after seeing Justice and even Kikuchi in those first two innings, I mean, that's a Stanton feast. That's why he kind of didn't enter Pride Realm for me. But Stanton with a big series and, you know, that's... If he's going to lock up the DH spot, he better hit. So, you know, good job, G.
Good job, G. Good job, G. Middle school cast.
Middle school cast.
Because he hits lefties.
Hits them lefties.
In the middle, I thought you were trying to say, because his swing looks like he was a lefty and then taught himself how to swing righty. So that's why it looks so, like, choppy.
Chop down trees to survive.
This is my forest. My award, my first award, is Stepping Stone Award.
I wanted to set you up for it. I mean, it's a John Boy specialty. I saw some alluding to it on the interstate.
Oh, you did? Well, I was going to give him Pride. I thought maybe it was him or Voight for Pride, because if J-Mo doesn't go 7 innings, our bullpen is a disaster. And the thought about our starting pitching is a disaster with Mike King gone, Nestor being a pitcher, Cole we can't trust anymore. Herman gets root canal. It'd be Tyone and Monty would be the only people that are like, oh, okay. And like Cole's on their level now. So to get 7 innings out of him of 1-run ball and 9 Ks was just phenomenal outing by Tyone. And I almost felt like I didn't even know what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was quick, making quick work of them. But, you know, at that point, we were coming off the off day, but like you said, we realized, well, shit, Chapman's not a closer. Loaiza and Chad are both not available today. The options were real slim for the bullpen. So if he threw a stinker, I mean, this dude's thrown some stinkers. He threw only one out last month, you know, and he didn't make it out of the fifth two starts ago, didn't make it out of the sixth. So, you know, he's been going the distance, which is good. You know, this is seven innings pitch, before that 5.1, before that 6.1. So he's gotten to the seventh inning twice in his last three starts. So, you know, if you're not going to be amazing, that's one thing. But if you can help the bullpen out while not being amazing, that's good. But he was really good. This is a good start by him. Seven innings pitch, four hits, one earned run. So I think we're officially at the point where you showed him the section of Home Depot. Then he got the thanks for shopping at Home Depot. He bought him. He was bringing him home. Ohtani, you know, kind of was like a just like a really inconvenient car accident that paused his drive home, like just traffic out of nowhere, and like, damn, guess I'm not going to get to lay this
like
down.
Like a neighbor who's just, he's like, he does it for his career. Like his Jameson Taillon's neighbor does masonry as his career. And he looked over there and he like built this incredible, you know, hot tub out of masonry. And Taillon's like, are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make the path to my backyard.
Yeah, I wish he would have just kind of pitched around Ohtani. But this is seven innings pitch, one earned run, four hits. I believe the curveball was his secondary pitch of choice in this game. But, you know, he didn't have a bullpen behind him. He had a lead, and he could have skated by with another outing like the Angels, but instead he shoved. So good job by him. Officially, Stepping Stone Award has been received. Yeah, curveball was his secondary pitch of choice today, or that game.
Yeah, and I, you know, he got into a groove. I mean, you know, it helps when the Yankees are up 8-0 after three. You know, that lets you relax a little and pump those heaters, which has been his best pitch this year. But yeah, the pitch mix looks nice. It's 50% fastball and 50% off speed. Curve, slider, a little bit of change sneaking up. So hey, 50-50, that's interesting. And yeah, man, you know, we were scared coming in. Hopefully a big start for Taillon, and he should get extra rest going into the All-Star break. And hey, what got me excited, because, you know, let's be honest, there's been a lot of losing in Yankee land this year. Like, we forget how much baseball changes and guys have good first halves and bad first halves. Like, you know, there's a world, Jim, I've stopped saying it to get the people off my bumhole about it, but there's a world where Jameson Taillon has a nice second half to the season. That'd be pretty cool. Like, we can at least dream that now.
I'd enjoy it.
Swear.
Yeah, I promise you.
It's huge.
So congrats. It's his second Stepping Stone Award this season, actually.
It's huge.
What is your second award?
Step and get stoned. My second award. I've been excited to get this out. My second award. I've been excited to get this out. I'm giving out the Pitch to You Award.
Pitch to You.
Pitch to Yourself Award. Sorry.
Pitch to Yourself Award. Man, I don't even know, man. I'm trying to figure it out. Ohtani.
Ooh, I like that guess. It is not.
Okay, damn.
That would have been a pretty slick move by me.
Chapman.
Close. Jimmy, the Pitch to Yourself Award goes to Chad Green. Our boy Chad, seen a ghost. 15, his last 10 games, Jimmy. 15.2 innings pitch, one run, 21 punchies, one walk, 21 K to walk ratio. That's pretty good. You know what his ERA is in that span, Jim?
0.0.
0.57. Chad Green's number. Pitch to yourself, baby. And Chad Booney was on it. Like, Booney has those baseball savant moments that get you excited sometimes. Like, he had that quote, Chad looked as good as he ever looked, and we're like, all right, I think Chad's looking okay. He kind of looks like Chad. And then he had the lights out Mets three-inning save that was incredible, literally ended it with the immaculate inning. And then he comes out, he looks good again, Chad Green. And I, you know, we always laugh at the Chad Green gives the Palmers big spots. Yeah, because he pitches in the big spots. How about you give him some love when his last 10 games he's been disgusting?
Always give Chad love, man.
Do you think it was like a...
OGCL.
You think it was like an old-timey ghost?
That Chad saw? Oh, it's like a 60-year-old woman.
Shoot a big load.
But tiny.
I think. A tiny 60-year-old woman.
Yes. Like 4'11". Skinny.
Do you think the ghost talked?
Oh, no.
Okay.
That would have... I mean, that's the scariest thing Chad Green could ever think of, a talking ghost. Yeah. He's got to respond to it, maybe? Mm. Get him out of that.
Like Chad.
Not good.
They interviewed him after the game. I wanted to listen so bad. I was so tired. I was in one-eye mode. Could only keep one eye open.
One-eye mode's so fun in the morning.
It's like, what?
Sometimes I one-eye it in the morning, like when you're looking at your phone when you just woke up for so long, and then I have to talk myself in to go in both eyes.
Bait the other eye.
And then the moment I go into both eyes and blink a little and I'm there, I'm like, all right, well, I'm awake now. Let's just get up. That's my morning routine.
It's huge.
I am giving the U.S. Soviet team award.
Ooh. The U.S. Soviet team.
Yeah.
One team.
The U.S. 1980s Soviet team award.
USSR. Okay. A lot of talent, but they hated playing for their country. You know, they're jealous of the U.S. a little bit. You guys are a team. Why do they believe? Glaber?
No. Okay. There's a quote in a documentary about the 1980 U.S. Olympic team that beats the Soviets about when it was a job to them and they won and they were supposed to win. And when the U.S. beat them and they were celebrating like crazy, jumping around for joy, so excited. There's a shot of the U.S. Soviet team leaning their chins on the top of their sticks, just looking at them. And one of the players is in the documentary, the Soviet player, and he says, "We had forgotten that this is a game that brings you such great joy. We had forgotten that this is what winning looks like." And I'm giving it to Tim LoCastro because I think he may have opened the Yankees' eyes to running. I think when he gets that hustle double, I think maybe some guys on the Yankees put their head on their stick and go, whoa, I forgot all about speed. You can do that? Just like, you know, a novel concept. Because as a fan, I sure as hell was doing that.
It's nice.
It's like, oh, yes. Hustle doubles.
I think every Yankee fan felt it. You saw the single go past the shortstop, and you're like, okay, so that's kind of in that tweener area. This is what Tim does, right? And it cuts to him, and he's flying. And you're like, oh, yes, for daddy.
It's allowed?
Stan's just befuddled.
There was some play. Was it like a chopper to... There's some play where it was like a foot race between Stanton and the pitcher in this series, and I was just like... Stan, like, for like two steps, thought about going faster, like switching gears, and then he was just like, nah.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
That was to right field. They were racing. The wall. Or, wait, Stan?
Stan, no, I think the pitcher was covering first.
Oh. I think Stanton hit a single to right that ricocheted off, like, the corner of the wall instead of going down the line, and it was after T-Low, and I think there was a thought. There was like a, is this what we do now? And then he was, no. And then the right fielder threw behind him to first base because he thought he could get him.
That double that T-Low hit was nice down the line, the other double to follow it up with a real double. Like, yeah, I can do that too. I mean, you know, his offensive numbers haven't been great this season with the D-backs, but maybe they can get something because, you know, Andujar's a little hurt, and having defense would be nice.
Mm.
Got to be able to hit a little. So that's my award, and I liked it.
And he liked it.
Anything else we didn't get?
Let's see. Monty, we talked about a little bit. Monty has a Monty start.
It's a good start, man. I take that every day. I'd sign up for 6 2/3, 300 runs. He just never walks away and feels good. Whether it's the defense letting him down and unearned runs, whether it's the like, you know, the final inning, the last pitch letting him down. Something like that. It's there's always something that stops Monty from feeling good after the game.
Yeah, it's 6.23 in runs. Yeah, the Yankees put up a six spot today. We're celebrating Monty, and we're saying that's a big start. He's in a very damned if we do, damned if we don't start, because it, you know, if the Yankees had the lead, would they have gone to the bullpen earlier? I don't know, because he settled in, he looked good. Just Monty being Monty, look good. Look good. Who else do we got? BBD's thinking about some.
Well, I hesitate to even bring it up because if you call people's attention to it, they'll turn on him in a second. But Gary does go 0-for-11 this series, 3 walks, so something. But 0-for.
I didn't feel like he was lost at the plate at any point.
He's not lost, but he's not hitting the ball. Like, he's falling off the hittable pitches right now.
Yeah.
He had that really nice at bat that kind of felt like the pivot point of the game when Gilbert came out for the seventh. He had the 11 pitch at bat or whatever it is, and he was there. And he ended up barreling the ball, but it was right at Crawford, I believe. I didn't want to make it an award because it's sad, but Guardy and Gary are both hitless in July so far.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
39 feet of intestine.
Not ideal. Let's go to,
I think Gary has walked a lot in July, but get some hits. A
couple hits.
Because there's people who are ready to hate
Gary
you
again. Likes his friends in Houston. He'll get.
What about the Trial by Fire Award?
Oh, bonus award.
Do you have to bring Chapman into the game to face Altuve?
Ooh, okay.
It doesn't have to be a save situation, right? But if he's coming into the game and they're up 5 or they're down 5 or whatever, and you're just giving him another inning to work on things, which I still believe that he has to do before he gets the closer job again, but I would almost make it a point to be like, all right, well, you know, it's not a save situation, but here's a little fire starter for you. Here's a little log.
Well, face your fears. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd pick that spot out to face Altuve.
Do kind of a kill two birds, one stone thing because you need to get him an inning that doesn't matter anyway. Might as well make that inning an inning. He'll face Altuve when it kind of doesn't matter.
Get him like the 8-9-1 in the lineup.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something to look out for. DJ had a really nice first game. He was looking good, and then he kind of trailed off the rest of the series. That's yeah. Geo's kind of Geo. Not a great series for him. Error 2-for-13. Glaber, couple good swings, but like at this point, it's just results. Like, give me 4 broken bat hits against Houston so I can believe in something. What do you got, Tim?
Cole Hoyle in the chat has a real good counter to your stat. Guardy's home run against the Angels was July 1st, past midnight, technically.
Yeah, game counts the day before, though. So a lot of people Twitter saying that.
Sure. And it's a July homer.
Maybe the worst game of the Yankees year, so no.
Worst loss, not worst game. Yeah. Okay, I got a lot going on inside my house that I got to go tend to.
Yeah, I mean, just because in Yankees heads, this is kind of a big one. They're going Nestor tomorrow. It's Cole, the Saturday game. And then, Tyone's pitching the last game of the series? That can't be right. Or no, it is right because he pitched the first game. So, hope it'd be really cool if that stepping stone pays off. Nestor.
Well, it's going to be, I think they're going to bring up Abreu because give me Nestor to someone.
Right.
It was supposed to be Kinger.
Yeah, that's where we started the up. But I mean, how funny is it, you know, a season that ending the first half in Houston where if you don't win 2 out of 3, it feels like the season's fully over. And Nestor Cortez gets the ball in game one. And if you go to the probable pitchers page, one of my favorite pages, actually, probably my favorite MLB.com page, if you do probable pitchers, Nestor Cortez doesn't have a photo.
That's incredibly
weird. Every other pitcher has a photo of them throwing. Nestor Cortez's is of just a wide shot of Yankee Stadium. So I'm probably going to tweet that to motivate Nestor.
He's been around, like, it's not like it's his first year. If it's a dude's first year, first 10 starts, I get it. That's not ESPN. That's MLB.
MLB.com.
Good job, guys. Promote your players. Can't even get a goddamn picture.
After ESPN hyped him all game last Sunday. So yeah, Nestor versus Odo, who's been pretty good. Gerrit Cole versus Greinke, who's been pretty good. And Jameson Taillon versus Framber Valdez, who's been really good. So buckle up.
Buckle up, I'll tell you a story about an artist growing old.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Sorry that I'm so tired, but I spent 3 hours in a hospital parking lot and didn't sleep at all. So
we love you.
I'm out of it. Yeah, I gotta go though.
See you, big dog.
Bye. Love you guys. Bye.
Go Yankees.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.